I know. Saying that we all hate men can feel good in the moment, but it is a sexist remark. Period.
Girlwise is a safe space to learn and discuss all kinds of topics through anecdotes and evidence-based research. I'm your host, Brenna Nicole, and welcome to Girlwise.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 2 of Girlwise. Today, we're going to be talking about gender and equality, two hot topics that have been at the forefront of global social discussion for a while. But what even is gender inequality? Even though women and girls make up half of the world's population, there are still disparities for women worldwide in terms of economic justice, healthcare access, earning potential, unequal access to education, gender-based violence, and civil rights. For those who identify as non-binary or gender diverse, these differences may be much more pronounced. Gender inequality refers to the unequal treatment or perception of individuals based on their gender. It is a social issue that affects both men and women, although women are disproportionately affected. These inequalities are often deeply ingrained in societal norms and beliefs and can have serious consequences for individuals and society as a whole. In my opinion, equality is a be careful what you wish for situation. It's only the first step towards lasting change, but we shouldn't stop there. Equity and justice should always be our end goal because I believe they are the only ways to fully eliminate discrimination and bias. Regardless, making the change towards equality is the first step in the right direction. In my research, I found a video from Susan S. Fleming, who worked on Wall Street for a long time in the 90s and climbed the corporate ladder. In it, she said a quote that completely struck me. Quote, "So yeah, there has not been enough progress. I'm also frankly tired of giving advice to women on how to, quote, fix themselves to adjust to the male norms of our workplace and our society," end quote. Decreasing gender equality is not in molding ourselves to be more likable to men, as many people have tried to push. It's the literal opposite. Change requires the rebuilding of patriarchal pillars that influence everything. But that can seem quite daunting and scary, and no one person can do it by themselves. So today we're starting small and discussing ways that we can help make the world a more accessible and safer place for everyone, as decreasing gender inequality improves the quality of life of everyone regardless of gender. It's the everyday things that make the real difference. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to give a disclaimer to ensure that listeners understand the limitations of the advice given on this podcast. I am not a professional or an expert on the topics being discussed. While I'll do my best to direct you in what I think is the right direction, it's always best to consult a qualified professional when seeking advice on a particular issue. You have agency and should make appropriate decisions based on the context. All references and works cited are listed in the show notes and on girlwisepodcast.com, so you can check out where I'm getting my information from. Thank you, and enjoy the episode. Today's words of girl wisdom are, try doing the things you like shamelessly. Even if only once, just try it. The pandemic exacerbated the gender equality crisis. The World Economic Forum estimates that at the current rate of progress, women will not only achieve pay or leadership equity with men for at least another 135.6 years. In the 2021 UN Women's Conference in Paris, the six action coalitions were proposed to make the irreversible changes towards equality for women and other gender minorities. They are as follows: ending gender-based violence, guaranteeing economic justice and rights, ensuring bodily autonomy and sexual and reproductive health and rights, feminist action for climate change justice, and fostering technology and innovation for gender equality. And you may be thinking, okay, that all sounds great, but I'm not a lawmaker or politician. How in the world am I supposed to participate in these? Well, these are the ways that we can facilitate these things happening for people in higher power positions. These tips apply to anyone. It's not just women's job to take on the problems of gender bias. It affects everyone, as we all play a part in reinforcing it as well. So number one, it should go without saying, it's very obvious, educate yourself. To understand the problem, we must educate ourselves. If you only take one step, let it be this one. Education on the subject is crucial. It involves understanding what is happening, whom it's happening to, why, how it's affecting people, and using all of this information to solve the crisis. It's everyone's individual responsibility to educate themselves, as it is the only way to have change in the first place. Make sure, though, to stick to trusted sources and stick to the facts. Not all the information will be comfortable, but it's super important to understand what is going on to come to a solution. Educating yourself also includes listening to other people's stories to understand and create empathy. This helps widen points of view and helps to make clear what people need. Number two is to leave the judgment behind. One of the ways that women perpetuate sexism is by policing other women's behavior through judgment. No one wants to be outcast. It's a natural human need to be included, so this can be a potent tool for both good and bad. One of the best ways to undo this is instead of seeing the difference or feeling the need to elevate yourself over someone else to feel better about yourself, try to find the similarities between you. When I educated myself on women's issues and understood the bigger picture that we are being manipulated into going against each other for the benefit of men keeping us small, everything changed. I no longer saw other women as my competition, always trying to put them down so I would feel better about myself, but I saw the real sisterhood. All of our similarities of how we are just trying to survive with the cards that we've been dealt. We're all just trying to fight off discrimination, sexual harassment, physical harassment, and so on. Some do this in ways that hurt us all, like promoting and submitting to misogyny, as a way to hope that by doing so, they will be safer than the ones who resist. Number three is eliminate the fear of speaking up and doing the right thing. This is one of the points that Fleming brings up in her speech. Quote, "So how do you overcome fear? You start by acknowledging it, and then finding ways to create trust. We must shift the mindset around diversity away from political correctness, fear, and punishment, and toward one focused on curiosity and learning. We need to favor communication over avoiding offense. In creating a politically correct environment, we haven't gotten rid of the biases. We've just driven them underground." End quote. She goes on to say that it doesn't mean going back to open insults or incivility, but more an invitation to have open, honest conversation about gender bias. This includes seeing other people's side of the argument to understand how they're thinking about issues. That way, we may be able to understand where the break in communication or misunderstanding comes from and work from there. I'm not gonna lie, this takes a lot of emotional maturity and openness from both parties, which is something I'm still working on, trust me. But it is a necessary step that needs to be taken for real, sustainable change to happen. Number four is remembering that fighting for equality, equity, and justice is everyone's job, not just women's. Though giving women voices and the opportunity to have positions of power is the only way towards change, it's not just women's job to fix everything. Men already hold more power and can make huge differences on their own. Gender discrimination affects everyone. We all should be working together on making progress. Five, it's time to stop making sexist comments and generalizations. I know, saying that we all hate men can feel good in the moment, but it is a sexist remark, period. Swallowing your ego and rising above being petty or getting revenge is not always easy. Some women and other minority groups have suffered at the hands of men for all of recorded history and probably tens of thousands of years before that. I'm aware. but giving into the sex wars against men will only sink us down with them. If equity and justice are our end goals, we cannot maintain any kind of generalizations. Judging people as individuals, not as the representation of their entire gender, is justice. It's time to challenge gender stereotypes, and that includes men's as well. And number six are other small ways, like discussing things openly with people in your circle, including children. This affects them directly as well as children. Discrimination towards young girls starts before they're even born. Also, supporting women or gender minority-owned businesses. To give an example of how this brings change, programs that support women's empowerment have been the driving force between 55% of progress in food security in developing nations during the previous few decades. According to estimates from the Food and Agriculture Organization, agricultural yields of women farmers would rise by 20 to 30% if they had equal access to productive resources. This might reduce the world's hunger by 12 to 17% and supply enough food to prevent 100 to 150 million people from going hungry. You can also speak out against gender-based violence. Almost 1 in 3 women and girls have at some point in their lives been the victim of physical or emotional abuse, usually at the hands of a husband, partner, or family member. The danger of violence against women is greater for lower-income women, and women in all socioeconomic classes are impacted by the underreporting of violent crimes because they don't feel safe or trust the present processes. And finally, elect better representation. Better environmental outcomes seem to be driven by women's leadership and representation at the local and national levels. At the local level, women's participation in managing natural resources leads to more equitable and inclusive resource governance and better conservation outcomes. It takes just one time of standing up to begin getting comfortable fighting injustices. It's how we move around the world every day that can make the biggest impact on fixing inequality. Unfortunately, due to a lack of education on the subject, most people don't even know how they're being harmed by it, let alone how much the quality of life could improve for everyone if it diminished. As I mentioned, not being afraid to speak on the subject because it's considered taboo is very important. Shoving it aside will do more harm than good. A more equal and inclusive society leads to greater social and economic progress, improved mental and physical health outcomes, and a more just fair world for all. We all have the power in this, so let's take it. In the words of Mrs. Incredible, come on, girls, we're going to leave saving the world to the men? I don't think so. Okay, with that, it's time for Ask Me Anything, the ending segment of the podcast where you can ask me anything. If you want to send in a question, you can do so by going to girlwisepodcast.com, or you can send in an email at girlwisepod@gmail.com. Today's question is, my boyfriend keeps liking other girls' pics on Insta and I don't know what to do. Please help. Okay, so there are a few things that we can start off with right off the bat. Number one, it's important to discern between boundaries and control. I have many episodes on this podcast about boundaries and one specifically on how to tell the difference between boundaries and control. But the gist of it is that all boundaries are self-boundaries, and control is when you want to force change other people's behavior instead of letting them change by themselves. So it is extremely important in a relationship to express your feelings and let them be known. First of all, people can't read our minds, and even though it might seem very obviously disrespectful to you, it's very important to let them know that that's behavior that you're uncomfortable with. But unfortunately, that can lead to a few arguments and butting heads. So if that happens, it's important to not let your experience be diminished. Understand yourself, where you're coming from, and why it matters to you. It makes you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you feel insecure about it. Maybe you don't want other people to see that he's liking these pictures. Whatever it is,
It's valid. And the most important thing is, if it matters to you, it should matter to them. And if it doesn't matter to them, then maybe we should be asking ourselves why we're in a relationship where our feelings and our discomfort is something that can be brushed off by our partners. Worst case scenario, sometimes it is time to let go of that relationship, because if you feel disrespected and they aren't willing to work towards making the relationship feel safe, then they shouldn't be in your life. I really hope that helps. I can do an entire episode about this and how sometimes partners, specifically boyfriends, can brush off our discomfort because it doesn't feel important to them, which ties a lot back into my "if your boyfriend doesn't like Valentine's Day, it's a red flag" episode. Anyways, the dogs are barking and it's getting late, so it's time for me to go. But I hope you come back next week for another episode and follow the podcast for many more episodes here on Girlwise. Bye!